For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
It is Thompson to Clark, our weekly look at Giants baseball. Brad and I are here, and we're ready to talk some opening day roster stuff. Can you believe it's like 17 days until the season starts?
Yeah, I kind of threw me off last week because all I was trying to figure out, like, oh, when do we do our fantasy baseball draft? And I looked and I was like, oh, that's right. The games in, are they Japan or Korea this year? Dodgers and Padres.
I think it's Japan.
It's Japan.
I think so.
So yeah, that was all of a sudden it was like, oh, that's March 18th. So we better figure this out. Mm-hmm. I mean, the season is kind of sneaking up. We were waiting forever for spring training, and then all of a sudden we're like, hey, we're almost 3 weeks in now. So I dig it, man. It's March 10th. Let's go. Let's get started with the season.
Before we dig into the roster, I saw some quotes today in an article as it pertained to one Blake Snell. Not one of our faves.
No, this guy.
So I decided it is time to bring back some bitter Giants here. So let's talk about some Blake Snell. He was quoted in an article in the San Francisco Chronicle. And that article was discussing his free agency. And obviously he was on the Giants last year. Had a terrible first half, had an incredible second half, and at the end of the season, because the Giants didn't have a chance for the playoffs, he decided to not take the last start, which made him a little unpopular with folks like you and I. And so I wanted to read you these quotes because he said that the Giants didn't even try and bring him back. He said he enjoyed his time in San Francisco, so he was a little surprised. And here's the quote, and I wanted to get your take on this. I know Bob, and he talking about Bob Melvin. I know Bob loves me, and I'm really close with Logan and Chappie, so I was shocked. I thought they'd come after me right away. I really liked it there. I was happy there, but they never even said anything to me. That's the first quote, and I'll kind of let that marinate with you right there. Now, if you had to have guessed at the end of last year the way that Blake Snell went out, I sort of figured like that was him saying, you know, I'm off to free agent land, like, see you guys later. Thanks for being my buffer year.
Yeah.
So for him to say that after how that season ended, that, you know, he kind of expected them to come after him and want his services, that was interesting because I don't know. I think we assumed that he was gone, that they would maybe be in play, but that he was looking for bigger and better than what the Giants had.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he could have made, what was it, if he would have opted in?
It's like $62 million or something.
Yeah, I think so. It was a two-year, $62 million deal. So he could have opted, let's see, $15 million in 2024, $17 million signing bonus, then $30 million in 2025. So he could have made $30 million. $15 million would have been deferred and paid on July 1st, 2027. So he technically could have stuck with the Giants and made $30 million this season. Weird ending to the year last year, right? I mean, like you said, if you're going to stick around with the team, if you have plans to stick around with the team, you want to showcase. I know he's shown us what he had, but if he wants to showcase a little bit more and say, like, I love pitching in San Francisco, I'll go to war for Bob Melvin, I'll do all of this stuff, then you pitch in the last game of the season,
or just pitch an inning and just be like, yeah. I'll throw the inning, I'll throw two innings, and then we'll mop it up. But I want to thank the fans, tip your cap.
Yeah,
exactly.
Tip your cap. It's traditional. It's it's ceremonial. It's for show. Just go out. You're not going to hurt yourself in an inning or two. Came into camp late, obviously, because of the late signing, you know, the hee-hawing around with Boris and all of that stuff. Giants finally nab him. But then he comes in. I don't know what he was doing in the offseason, but he came in with got a groin issue right away, got that fixed up a little bit, came back, had another groin issue, missed a little bit of time, and ended up, ending the season with a 3.1 WAR.
Yes.
And last year, Logan Webb had a 4.4 WAR because, he pitched the innings. But let's go. Can I jump back to like 2018 and look at his WAR and just kind of go forward? So in 2018, his Cy Young Award winning year, he had a 4.7 WAR. And no Giant pitcher in 2018 had a better WAR than that. That's just, because that was the 2018 Giants. 2019, he had a 2.7 WAR.
Mm-hmm.
Mad Bum had a 3.3 with the Giants. So there's one pitcher with a better WAR that year. 2020, shortened season, so he only had a 0.6 WAR. Three Giants pitchers had better WAR. Gausman, Tyler Anderson. Tyler Anderson had a better WAR in 2020 than Blake Snell. And Logan Webb. And that was Webb's first season, technically. 2021, he had a 2.1 WAR. Gausman, 4.8, Webb, 4.1, Disco, 3, Wood, 2.5. Giants had four pitchers with a better WAR than Blake Snell. 2022, 3.6 WAR. Giants had Carlos Rodon, Logan Webb, Alex Cobb, three pitchers with better WAR than 3.6. 2023, his Cy Young Award season, 4.2 WAR. Webby had a 4.9. Mm. And won the Cy Young that year. 2024, last year, he had a 3.1 WAR. And Webb had a 4.4. And I'm just looking at WAR. And you could say, well, WAR this, WAR that.
Yeah. It's a statistic that you're using to compare.
What is the best thing? Yeah, they always say the best ability is availability.
Yeah.
And I think Buster Posey, his whole shift in focus this season and going forward is pitching deeper into games.
Mm-hmm.
Snell last year threw his first complete game ever in his career. All right, 31 years old, first game. Do you think that's a sign of things to come? Do you think that's a sign of when he turns 32, he's going to be throwing 5 or 6 complete games? I don't think so. That's not his MO. That's not who he is. Buster Posey didn't want to deal with that. He didn't want to deal with the 5 and divers, the 4 and divers. He needs pitchers that can go length, and the Giants have quite a few. And we're going to get into roster makeup later. The Giants have quite a few pitchers that can go deeper into ball games this year. So when you look at the type of money that you're going to give to Blake Snell that the Dodgers ended up giving him, 5 years, $182 million. He's going to be 36 years old when that contract ends. 5 years, $182 million. I don't know if Giants fans would have been super happy giving that to a guy who has hit 180 innings pitched only twice in his career, 32 years old. So I hate to break it to you, Blake Snell. That's probably why they didn't contact you.
All right.
He said his goodbye the very end of the season. The Giants didn't have to say goodbye.
Okay. So there's more to this quote. Mm-hmm. He said, I texted Bob and he didn't reply. And Bob always replies to me. So I kind of had a feeling, but it was weird, especially with all the other teams that were interested in me. Now he then went on to say that he knows that sometimes managers, they can't really get back to you because there's some rule, I'm sure, when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
So I liked what you said about the complete games and the makeup. Now, I don't, you know, the Giants will be lucky. No one throws complete games anymore.
No, it doesn't. I mean, unless you're Logan Webb.
Logan Webb.
You might get two or three a year if you're
Logan. If Logan Webb stays healthy, his target is 200 innings and more. Like, that's the type of pitcher that he believes. And like you said, Blake Snell, you know, he's going to go until he, whether that's 4 innings, 5 innings, 6 innings, sometimes he'll get into that 7th inning. But he is very dependent on a really, really good bullpen for his success. And so it made a lot of sense for him to sign with the Dodgers because they have a bunch of guys that they just send out that throw 95 plus, and they will make him look fantastic. When you look at the wins and losses, and when you look at the ERA, and when you look at, you know, that how many games the team wins when he's out there, which effectively may, I don't know how that would affect war, but you know, the dressing up of those statistics will be nice when you have the back end of the bullpen. And so, but the thing that I don't understand, well, I guess I understand it because you're Blake Snell. You don't want to advertise maybe the things you're not great at.
Right.
He's saying, you know, I did a good job. I liked the guys. I assumed they were going to be in the negotiation, they were going to be a competitor for my services, which is fine. What he doesn't say is some of the things that we just said right now, which is he's not a deep pitcher. Buster Posey's looking for something deeper as far as starting pitching. And he didn't start that last game. I don't know how much that affected the scenario, but that, to me as a fan, that was him saying, I'm not coming back. Right. It's right. Like, you know, if he really wanted the Giants to, and maybe he's being a little dishonest, and maybe he kind of knew that the Giants weren't going to be there. So knowing that they weren't going to be involved, he's like, okay, well, I don't really have to pitch this last game because I'm not going to be a part of this team anymore. I just found, and it might simply be because I see Blake Snell, the baseball player, as a little flaky. And so his comments to me were really sort of flaky and maybe a little bit dishonest. And not to say, I didn't think that he said anything negative. He wasn't mean. He didn't say anything bad about the team. I just looked at that quote and I was like, I don't believe you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think you had any intention of coming back to the Giants.
No, I saw that quote as, we lost a team to put numbers up against, you know, another team. Because he said, especially the other teams, especially as many as the other teams that were out there for my service, I'm surprised the Giants didn't put in there. But again, I mean, that's your exit interview is who you are as a clubhouse guy. And there were no reports that he was a problem in the clubhouse or any of that stuff. But your exit interview is kind of, you know, what is your makeup on your final game of the season when the Giants are just trying to hit 500? You know, the fans are there. It's, I don't know if they do Fan Appreciation Day anymore. Remember that? That was always kind of fun when they used to do that. But I mean, it's the last game of the season. The Giants could hit 500. They've got, you know, arguably their ace on the mound because of the second half that Blake Snell had was ridiculous. And again, I'm not saying that, you know, the Giants couldn't use his services this year in the next 4 years or so. They absolutely could, for sure. You know, but maybe there was something, and again, throwing it out there, I don't know 100%, but I'm just sticking it out there. I mean, maybe there was, you know, he wasn't the guy that some of the young guys could turn to, like a Verlander. You can get Verlander for 1 year, audition Verlander. If he likes San Francisco, maybe he signs another 1 year deal. Cause he's trying to, we know Verlander's trying to get 300 wins. Is there room on the team for a Verlander and a Webb and a Ray and a Snell at that point? I don't know. I'm sure the Giants could find a spot for all of those guys. But I don't know. I see that last game as a bit of a problem when it comes down to it. Obviously, I think he would say otherwise. He's got his future and his investments to look out for. as a fan of a team and a baseball fan, I look at that and I just say, I don't know, man. Would have liked to have seen you go out there and throw the game 162 and just try to get us to 500. So
I think
we signed you to play. We signed you here.
So. I think the fans would have seen him in a much different light if he did throw that last game, even if it was to throw an inning or two.
Yeah.
Because like you said, you know, that he was getting paid to do so. So, you know what it reminded me of? And this, I'm going way back. So, Deion Sanders plays for the 49ers. They win a Super Bowl. And the Giants trade for him. And so he's playing center field next to Barry Bonds. And as a, you know, I think I'm 18 or something. I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Deion with the Niners, Deion with the Giants. This is going to be great. And then in the offseason, he signs with the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
And as soon as he signed with the Dallas Cowboys, I think his time with the Giants was essentially up as well. And right. I was, because in my mind, I was like, well, okay, he's with the Cowboys. Maybe he just plays with the Giants. But I don't know if he got injured or if he just decided that he was done and he wasn't going to play baseball for the Giants anymore. And it was kind of like, see you guys later. That's what I felt about Blake Snell. Like, he was basically trying to find his way out. And, you know, he was a hired gun. He used the Giants for their services to get back out there. But here is the real proof in the pudding. He was the first guy off the board.
Yeah.
He looked for that contract that he didn't get the year before, and they immediately signed it. So that's what he wanted. He wasn't looking, right. You know, maybe he was looking for the Giants to be in the mix to pump up that number a little bit, but I do not believe him in any way that he wanted to come back to San Francisco. I think it was LA or San Diego, and he was just going to go to the highest bidder from that standpoint.
So you think if the Giants said, you know, 5 years, also 182, hey, we'll match the Dodgers. You've already been here. Come on back. You think he would have gone?
I think he would have gone to LA.
Yeah. I mean, you got a chance to win rings for the next 4 or 5 years. I get it.
Smart for him because of the back end of the bullpen scenario that we just discussed.
Yeah, and they have a good bullpen. And so, yeah, they can deal with the 4 and dive, the 5 and dive. I think Giants are just trying to get away from that. They don't want to be a short inning starting pitching staff. Bob Melvin's already said, I'm going to avoid openers at all costs, and I don't think we have to use openers this year. So I think, you know, with a Blake Snell, you've got to deal with, we got to truck guys back and forth from Sacramento because I don't know. You got to look at it and say, I don't know how many games he's going to pitch this year. Yeah, he's coming into spring training early for the Dodgers, and that's great. Still doesn't change the fact that he's only hit 180 innings twice in his career. I think when he won the Cy Young 2 years ago, right? Wasn't that the lowest amount of innings pitched ever for a Cy Young award winner? That was it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty amazing right there. And again, it's the culture. It's the game we're in now with the starting pitchers. I get it. But again, it soured us, I think, to the point where we're like, hey, man, you miss so many starts at the beginning of the season, and then you're going to duck out on the last start of the season.
Yeah.
The Giants signed you for 100, not 161 games, 162 games. That's the season. So I think that kind of I'm sure it rubbed Buster the wrong way. I mean, Buster's a gamer. You think Buster's going to sit out game 162? Even if his catcher legs are tired and you know, the Giants are 80 and 81 and they're trying to get to 500, he's probably going to go out there.
And you know, the other thing is it really shows the difference between the Farhan mentality and the Buster mentality, because the fact that Bob Melvin, you know, said, yeah, you know, we're not going to use openers. You know, I'm sure if this was a different regime, the Giants would be using openers, you know, but the direction from up top says, no, we're good. We're going to do this the old fashioned way. And who knows, maybe that's not good, but I think they did build the staff to lean towards that versus what they were doing last year, kind of over managing the pitching staff, you know, trying to scrape by on a couple games to edge things out and maybe ultimately, it working in the opposite or whatever. So,
and we'll talk about it later, but the amount of options the Giants have to start ball games this year is probably the biggest amount of options they've ever had, I think, in the last at least 10 years that I can think of. I mean, they have a lot of guys who can start this season. So
probably since the title team, or maybe the 2016 team. I'm trying to think of, because it was Bumgarner, Cueto. Gosh, who was behind Cueto?
Yes,
and then who was the lefty that they brought in? They traded our guy Duffy for.
Oh, Matt Moore.
Yeah, Matt Moore was there.
Matt Moore.
So,
yeah, they had a lot of guys that could throw.
We need Brisby here. Brisby would name the starting the staff 2016 staff like immediately.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's look at some roster stuff. I'm playing with the format just for folks watching on video, so we'll have some photos or some images up to as we discuss this. But first, the diabolical one, Biz Markie. All right, so let's look at the, let's see, how do I pull this up here? Let's look at, I think this is, nope, that's not the one I was looking for. Absolutely not the one I was looking for. Here we go. Anyway, this new technology, you got to figure, there we go, starting pitchers. So,
newfangled technology.
So starting pitching, and this is kind of this is maybe the biggest discussion when it comes to the pitching staff, which is who's going to be the five guy. Now we have Logan Webb, Justin Verlander, Robbie Ray, Jordan Hicks. I know Jordan Hicks didn't have the best start the other day.
Right.
And Andrew Baggerly, we're using Andrew Baggerly's list from his article the other day. Andrew Baggerly predicted Landon Roop as the five guy. And I know that's what you have predicted in the past as well. Like, you want Roop to get that shot to be the five guy.
Yeah.
Which means Kyle Harrison is, I guess, beginning the season in AAA, even though he made the team out of the spring last year. And Hayden Birdsong, who threw some strong innings for the Giants. That would also mean that he starts in AAA and gets his innings that way. Do you still believe that Landon Roop is the right guy for that five slot?
I think so. I think he got touched up a little bit yesterday, but I still think he's the right guy. Kyle Harrison hasn't, he's a little bit behind because he was sick at the beginning of spring training. I don't think, his fastball isn't up. It's still he's still hitting like 91, 92 right now. Hayden Birdsong, young, but throws 98, but just, is a little bit wild. So I think, and again, you have to know, that's the thing, is we don't have that. We can't talk to these guys day in and day out. Buster Posey can. Management can. They can check the mentality. If Harrison's like, if I have to start in AAA to work on things, I'm motivated to get back here. I want to work on things. you have other guys like Camilo Duvall where you could break them if you send them down to AAA. It's possible, you know, the fragile mentality, you can send them down and then they get frustrated and then that's it. Elliot Ramos, we saw that a couple of years ago. He came up, had a nice little stint with the Giants, and then they sent him back down, and this was 23, sent him back down, and he scuffled in AAA. He was very upset. And instead of using that to, you know, motivate and get back, he was frustrated. And then in the offseason, they had a talk with him. Everything was good. And then last season, we saw what Elliot Ramos could be. So you have to know, I mean, it's a psychological game, baseball, with 162 games. And especially when you're pitching, if you have a rough start, you've got to eat that for 5 days until you can get back out there. So if Harrison and Birdsong are the type of guys you can send down and they'll get super motivated to come back, then that's great. Give it to Landon Roop. Let those guys work on their stuff down in AAA in Sacramento, and then get better and get back up, because we could use them. Because now then you're talking about a 7-man rotation already. We haven't even gotten into the other starting pitchers. We're already at a 7-man rotation that you've got 7 pitchers to choose from.
Okay. I'm leaning towards, like, this is just what I want, not what's necessarily the best. I kind of like the thought of Birdsong, because, and it's mostly for one reason. Now, the scenario won't always work like this, but if you have Birdsong as the 5, mm-hmm. and he's throwing 98, and then you follow up with sinker, slider, changeup, Logan Webb, and then you come back with Verlander, fastball, curveball. Like, I just feel like there's more dimension in the rotation, especially as you're having these series. You know, Roop is, his whole game is his breaking ball. And the breaking ball is excellent, which is why he can be a starter. I would actually like to slide him to the bullpen as our long guy. But that changes a little bit because of Baggerly's list of long guys. So here's Baggerly's list of relievers: Ryan Walker, Tyler Rogers, Camilo Duvall, Eric Miller, Sean Jelly, Randy Rodriguez, Eni Romero, and Lou Trevino. Now, if you had Roop start the season in the bullpen, Jelly is kind of your long guy already.
Yeah.
Lou Trevino, you know, who knows? I not exactly sure what his spot, mop up guy, whatever.
He sounds like a 90s country singer. Lou Trevino.
Or like a golfer from the 80s when we were kids.
There you go. I think they just picked him off the PGA Tour.
So I don't know if you could fit him, because someone would have to be moved out to keep Roop. But, you know, we were talking about the reason why Taylor Rogers got traded. It was a salary dump. But the reason he got traded is because they did not want to pay a guy that much money to be a reliever who they were not going to pitch in high leverage situations. But if you have Roop, and here's kind of where I'm getting at, you mentioned the 7 starters thing. Mm-hmm. If you have Birdsong as your 5 and you have Roop as your 6 and also your Junis swingman role, I think that's more compelling than the bullpen that Baggerly has right here. Now, again, you know, some of these guys are vets and Roop is a young guy doing that swing role, sometimes starting, sometimes not, probably psychologically is not the easiest. But if I'm just thinking of arms and kind of the supercharge arms that you can bring out of the bullpen, I'm thinking, man, let's say Jordan Hicks, right? Let's say Jordan Hicks has a rough start, goes 3.5. Or 3 1/3, and then you're like, okay, we're fine. It's 3-2. Like, we're fine because we're gonna bring in Roop and he's gonna throw 4 zeros up there and we're in the game. I feel confident in that, though the psychological aspect of it, of course, is a thing. So that's just my point of view of why I would like Birdsong in the rotation. So Roop can be in the bullpen and just come, you know, firing because of the fact that Hicks, and even Birdsong as the 5 guy, you know, he doesn't have a lot of reps. You know, there could be some scenarios where he just doesn't have it and he's three innings and dust. Like, I like having someone like Roop just going like, okay, I got this. Like, I'm coming in and I'm throwing four or five and we're staying in this baseball game.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good call. And I think that kind of harkens back to where why Buster Posey also wants to go with guys who can throw a lot of innings deeper into ball games, because you are going to get a pitcher that's going to get blown up. You're going to get a Jordan Hicks that's going to get blown up in the second inning, or Landon Roop that's going to get blown up in the second inning, or Birdsong. It's going to happen. So the more you can limit openers, because you're already going to have those blow up games, I think that also plays into it. Because it is hard. It is hard to look and see Roop, Birdsong, and Harrison and say, well, two of those guys are going to, I mean, so if Birdsong or Harrison gets that fifth spot, Roop is staying, right? I mean, I think that's kind of across the board. Roop is going to be in the bullpen.
Yes.
The question is going to be Birdsong and Harrison, and you're saying Birdsong would be good in the bullpen as a stretch guy. The problem is, I think the Giants are probably looking at that and saying he's too young. They don't want to give him the, you know, you're going to pitch this day and then maybe you don't pitch for 7 days. And now you're going to pitch twice in 3 days. So I could see him going to AAA because they want to get him as every fifth day, every fifth day, just crank it out, get the arm strength up. Because I can see Landon Roop winning that five spot out of spring. And I hate to say it, but I can't see him keeping it for more than like 2 months. You know what I mean? Maybe six, seven starts. And then Harrison or Birdsong are doing great in AAA. So they're ready to come up and grab that spot. And then, like you said, because I think the Giants are going to need a long guy longer than Jelly. And at that point, now you can say Roop has got his innings up. He's got his pitches up and everything else. And now we can stick him in the bullpen. He's a longer guy that strengthens their bullpen. Look at those. I'm looking at this bullpen. Look at the top four names. If those guys are on, that's a nasty bullpen. I know we're about to get to the bullpen, but I'm just looking at those names and thinking, if I had out of the park baseball and I had those four guys in the back end and they were on, that's dirty.
Now, the second question is, do you keep a second lefty? Any Romero? I don't know too much about him. But if you don't have a second lefty, and because there's like three guys that they're kind of looking at, and it sounds like none of them are really killing it, right? But you need Miller, because Miller's throwing hard. I'm sure Miller is very happy about Bob Melvin's commentary about not having an opener, because he seemed to be the opener du jour last year.
Yeah. We need him in the back end. And I kept saying, and Ryan Walker, remember 2 years ago, every time he was an opener, I was like, put him in the back end of the bullpen, because that's the guy he is.
Yeah.
Tired of seeing him opening.
But do you have it's hard to have a take on without being in spring training and watching these lefties throw. Who knows?
The worst thing to try to keep track of in spring training as a fan are the bullpen battles, because you got guys coming in. I mean, you have to throw these guys early in the ball game. You have to throw them in the second inning, third inning, to see them face major league hitters. Otherwise, if you bring them in the spots that they normally would come in, if you brought in Ryan Walker in the ninth inning of a spring ball game, he's facing, you know, a couple of double A guys and a triple A guy. It's not going to tell you a whole lot other than location, pitch trajectory, pitch spin, all of that other good, you know, deep analytics stuff that you can see all of that stuff. But how does he do in a situation with the bases loaded and he's facing Otani? That's you're going to get that early in a spring ball game versus later in a spring ball game. So as a fan, I really hate watching, you know, bullpen battles in spring training, because I love to see them in, you know, late March, early April, in real ball games to see what they do. Do they clench? Do they tighten up? Do they go out there and, you know, command the situation? And I think we'll see that more, you know, obviously once the season starts.
So Bags also mentioned that there's a right-hander the Giants have, Joel Piguero, who throws like 102, who's kind of on the periphery. He mentioned Trevino being a Bob Melvin favorite, and he's the only non-roster guy who has a March opt-out. And then Tristan Beck, obviously, Spencer Bivens. We loved watching Spencer Bivens pitch last year. You know, they had the lefty Lucchesi, whatever, however you
think it's Lucchesi.
Lucchesi. Yeah, yeah. But he hasn't stood out in a big way. And then you have other guys like Trevor McDonald, who they sent down. And then two out of the three Carsons, actually all three Carsons were sent down, but two out of the three Carsons, Ragsdale and Seymour also, they were taken off the spring training roster. So those guys are going to start in AAA. They have some interesting arms, and you know, we kept mentioning this last year about how it's like not a 5-man starting rotation. It's like a 7-man or a 9-man, and they're going to be able to eat up innings much better this year than I think they have in the past 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I think so. And that's going to be fun to watch. If the starters can eat up some innings, and the Giants could really, really use that bullpen to their advantage. You know, the close games are going to be, I think the Giants are going to win more close games this year than they did last year. So,
all right. Next is the catchers. This one's easy. Patrick Bailey, swinging Sammy Huff because of no Tom Murphy. And McCovey Chronicles had a post the other day about whether or not we've seen the last of Tom Murphy. Like, the poor guy.
Yeah. He's got a lot going on, man. And that's, you got to deal with the oblique. Then you got to deal with back. I've had two of those injections, and it was probably like, 15 years ago. And I was 30, what was that? Probably 37 at the time. And it took a while to recover from those things, man. They are painful. And the first one didn't do the trick. That's why I had a second one. I don't know, man. Catcher, when you're a catcher and you're getting cortisone shots in your back, I don't know, man. doesn't bode well.
All right. Two more scenarios here, two more positions. We have infielders, Lamont Wade Jr., Tyler Fitzgerald, Willie Adames, Matt Chapman, Wilmer Flores, and Brent Wisely. And so what that means is by keeping Brent Wisely, you are basically telling our guy, Casey Schmidt, that he's going back to AAA, and talk about a guy who's been up and down and up and down and up and down. You're also talking about David Villar, who would be out of options and they would have to trade him or release him. And so by going with Wisely, you also have a left-handed bat. So that does make a lot of sense. I think it would take Casey Schmidt probably unseating Tyler Fitzgerald to get him on the field. But until he does that, you know, it may be something of, you know, Fitzgerald struggles early on and they have to make some changes. And maybe you have Schmidt and Wisely sort of play together and man that position together, but they're going to give Fitzy the shot. And Wisely seems to be the best scenario for just, you know, he's sort of built his career on just being ready at any spot. And you'd rather have Casey Schmidt get 500 at-bats in AAA to continue to, you know, stop chasing balls 3 feet out of the strike zone. So this seems pretty set to me. I don't know if I would make any changes here.
Yeah, I don't think so. Casey Schmidt is one of those guys that's really good to have on your roster. But again, is also better to have in AAA because He's not going to take the spot of any of these guys. I mean, he plays a wicked third baseman, and Chapman is there, you know, entrenched. He plays a decent enough shortstop. So if you had an injury there, you can bring up Schmidt. You have also got Wisely ready to go. Tyler Fitzgerald could go over there. Wisely could go to second. Depending on the situation, but yeah, I mean, that's it. And we knew that coming into the spring that there weren't many spots to win. That was kind of one of them, was Wisely, Schmidt, kind of battling it out. VR, I don't think, I mean, VR is third base, first base. So I complete long shot for him to have made the club. Hate to see him go, but that's just kind of the business of baseball. When you're out of options, you just, you gotta get moved somewhere else. So, but they are giving him at bats. They're giving him at bats and letting him do his thing to kind of showcase for another team, which is good.
The only thing, and the good thing about this is, I think the reason why you can do this is because Adames and Chapman, those guys don't take very many games off. They're going to play 150 games. So if you did have to give them some days off, I would think Schmidt would be better on the left side of the infield if needed than Wisely or Fitzgerald. But because of the fact that those guys play every day, you don't really need to worry about that too much, I don't think. So that's a good thing for having those guys, you know, having guys who are just going to be in the lineup every day.
Yeah. And another guy too, just throwing it out there, is Christian Koss. Mm-hmm. He's been having a fantastic spring. This spring he is hitting, let me go back to his numbers here. This spring he's hitting .364, 22 at bats, OPS of 1.076. He's got a home run. He's got three doubles. He's got a stolen base, on base percentage .440. Been playing some shortstop. The problem is he's a right-handed bat, and the Giants have plenty of right-handed bats.
What are his options like?
You know, I'm not quite sure what his options are, but I do believe he has an option because he was a non-roster invitee. Mm-hmm. So he definitely has. He's not even on the 40-man, so
okay.
That's why.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's good.
All right, so our outfield scenario also looks to be set. Jung-Hoo Lee, Elliot Ramos, Mike Yastrzemski, Luis Matos, and Gerard Encarnacion. I this is just, you know, really about Matos, whether or not you want him to be in a position where he's not getting, you know, all of those ABs that maybe you do want him to get in AAA. But who would be there? Well, you have Speckler, Wade Meckler, who I guess he had a concussion today during the game.
Yeah.
There's Grant McCray, but Grant McCray also needs those ABs in the minors. But they both are more speed guys. So if you needed the speed off the bench to steal a bag, those are the guys that you would go for. But it does look like they would probably lean towards Matos just because he's more ready. He should be more ready to help at this point. They did send our guy, Marco Luciano. They sent him down already, which was kind of surprising to me. I was kind of shocked that they did it so early rather than like having him kind of be there until the end. I don't know if it's because they're just going to continue to crash course him in left field or you know, if that's the reason, but I would have liked to see him just continue to hang with these guys, man. I mean, you know, is Barry's hanging out, like, just let this dude hang around Barry, right? for until Barry's gone, like, so I didn't understand that, and you're it right. Seems like it's been a little downplayed, so I don't know if it's because they're trying to trade him or something. So I mean, you know, they haven't really said a lot, so I don't know, but yeah, I wanted to see Luciano hang out a bit more. But what do you think about Matos being that fifth, technically fourth outfielder, because Encarnacion is going to be mostly the DH?
Yeah, I think that's good. I think he earned it. In the offseason, in the fall league, he was he in the fall league, or which league was he in this offseason? I think he was in the fall league. He tore it up, hit over 300. again, we talked about it. What was it last week? That he's not your power guy, mm-hmm. right? But a good fourth outfielder, a major league fourth outfielder.
Yeah.
You know, he can go in there. He can play a little defense. He can get on base. He can work the count. That's kind of the guy he is. So I think that's fantastic. Grant McRae is going to be, if there's ever a situation where Jung Hoo Lee has to take some time off, Grant McRae is that guy. He's your only other true center fielder that you can bring up at this point. So he's going to be that guy. Luis Matos will still be the fourth man at that point. I think Grant McRae would get the starts in center field because they value his defense. But yeah, Mechler's making some noise, but then the injury today. But yeah, this is good. I mean, I'm excited about this roster. It's a good mix of veterans and youth. It's kind of what we saw they were building to last season. I know everybody said just, you know, towards the end of last season, just play all the young kids. But mm-hmm. I mean, yes and no, you still had Conforto. Again, you signed Conforto. It's in good faith to continue to play him because there was nothing wrong with him and he was still hitting the ball and he had a good season. Unfortunately, he showcased himself for the Dodgers. We had that, but you know, either way, it goes both ways. I say, you know, you sign Blake Snell to 162 games, play 162 games. Well, if you're the Giants and you sign somebody to a fairly decent sized free agent contract, play that person.
Yeah.
Let them play because they're going to go on to a career and make money somewhere else. And that word gets around that, hey, you know, if the Giants sign you to play, they're going to play you. Unless they release you or trade you and they're going to get you in a better situation. But that's just, you know, what I like to see. But Gerard Encarnacion, I'm excited to see him. Of course, I say I'm excited until I see him strike out with the bases loaded twice in one game. And then I'm not going to be happy. But either way, you know, I'm excited to watch.
I mean, it's just the only apprehension I have is, you know, we were so excited for Soler last year. We're like, this guy is going to be the answer for us at the DH level. He's a professional. He hits everywhere. And he could not hit in this park. And so now you have Encarnacion. They're not the same guy, but they're kind of similar hitters in the sense of power guys. They're going to strike out a lot. They're not going to hit for tremendous average, more than likely. But if you were to, okay, let's say, now I don't want this to happen, obviously, but Encarnacion is not, he's not a major leaguer yet. He's kind of bounced around and he's a prospect, but he's kind of in the later stages of it. This is, you know, this is a shot for him because the Giants are needy in that position. This is a shot for him to make a club and to kind of stick. What if he doesn't do a good job? What if he's, you know, sort of like Soler? They're not going to have as much. They're not going to give him as much rope as they gave Soler last year. They're probably going to be, you know, less patient with him just because he doesn't have the pedigree of someone who's done it before. You can slide Wilmer into that spot. And I think that's a good backup plan is to have, you know, because also Wilmer might just push him out because Wilmer is so streaky. You know, he's had
a good spring
and he's 2 years removed from hitting 20 bombs. And
yeah,
and he is a better hitter than you know, Encarnacion has been in the majors. And let's say, you know, Wilmer forces himself and then you kind of can toggle with Wilmer and Lamont Wade with that lefty righty thing. They both could man first base and the other guy just plays DH. In that scenario, who would be the other bat that you would bring up to fill out that role if Encarnacion doesn't work out?
Well, I hate to break it to you, but there's really nobody else on the 40
man. I was thinking too.
When we just talked about Casey Schmidt, I mean, would it be Casey Schmidt? Would it be Luciano? I mean, neither of those guys are ready to go up there and take DH at bats every day. It would almost have to be, I mean, so the length you would give Encarnacion, are you talking like, I mean, we probably give him 2 months, right?
Yeah.
If he's going to make the roster out of spring, at that point, is Bryce Eldridge ready?
Okay. So that's what I was wondering too, is do you just give the kid the spot and say, well, we'll figure out the first base thing. We just need somebody who can produce at this
level. Stick him at first base, and then you've got Lamont Wade Jr. and Wilmer Flores to take those DH at-bats. And honestly, to get Wilmer Flores and Lamont Wade Jr. off their feet for 9 innings and just come to the plate and bat is probably a really good thing, I think, for the Giants roster up and down.
Yeah.
And it would be that way if Bryce Eldridge was ready. I think the Giants would, maybe Encarnacion would take Luis Matos' spot because you can send Matos down. He still has options.
Sure.
So I think that would be the situation because then you could have Wilmer and Eldridge play first base, and then your DHs are Encarnacion and then Lamont Wade Jr. And then you're not sending Encarnacion out there to DH every single game, even against righties. I think he's a little bit of a different hitter than Soler in terms of we've seen him in spring training. He hits line drives, and that's the one thing Soler was – and Soler could work a count, but Soler was – it was all or nothing, and he did come into spring training late. He signed late. You know, maybe he just wasn't comfortable with the city. He wasn't comfortable with the ballpark. It was cold. You know, it's cold at night there. You're not. Encarnacion has been there. He knows what it's like to play there. He's going to be out of spring training, out of the gates, in the lineup. He's going to be ready to go. So I think that mentality is going to be a little bit different. But yeah, I looking at the 40-man roster, it's Schmidt or it's Luciano at this point, because Eldridge, I don't think he's going to be ready right out of the gates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You're pressing your luck a little bit. I mean, look, we're saying Luciano, you know, can't even make the team out of spring because he just needs more. And Bryce Eldridge needs more ABs as well. I'm so excited to see these young players, but at the same time, they just need so much more maturing in the minors, unless somebody just forces their way to the bigs. And no one has really done that, right? No one has done that to where you're like, okay, you know, force Buster to make decisions. Like even Buster himself, you know, they had that clock thing with him. So he was having to play AAA for that 2 months before, and he should have made the team out of spring training. He was good enough to do so, but they had the clock thing. So, you know, you're looking at Buster, and even he had to sit through, and they had patience, you know, that he had to have patience with it. So I think he's a good person to understand that, but I would love, like, you know, we look at these numbers in the minors and we're like, okay, who's gonna like bust out? And it's almost like everybody has worse numbers than we expected them to have offensively. You know, Casey Schmidt has had some really good seasons, and he kind of probably maybe exceeded those expectations. But otherwise, like Matos, you know, last year he's gonna tear up AAA because he's got those reps in the bigs, and he was okay, but he didn't tear it up. Luciano, he's going to tear it up. Nope, he's hurt. Nope, he's struggling. Nope, we don't know, you know, all these things. It's just like waiting for Bryce to just go to AAA, and he's hitting over 400, and he's hitting a home run, you know, every 13 at-bats, and the Giants are like, look, you are forcing our hand. We're going to give you a shot, and I don't imagine Buster is going to be of the same mentality that Farhan was, which is, we're going to bounce these guys no matter what, because they are a body. They are a need. They, you know, we have the flexibility in the roster spots. They're the ones with the options. We might as well use them. I don't think Buster's going to do it like that. I think he's going to worry more about the psyche of the player because he was a player himself than just sort of be seen as a chess piece, like sort of how Zaidi did. So,
yeah. And it's Monday, right? We're recording this on a Monday. In a couple of days, we're going to be 14 days, 2 weeks away from opening day in Cincinnati. I don't see anybody in the next 14 days doing that, but again, it could be a situation where somebody does force their hand. But you know, they've gotten to the point now where they've technically sent the guys away from camp that aren't going to make the team. So in all honesty, this list that Baggerly put out, minus the bullpen, because bullpen stuff, again, I don't even want to touch it because it is so all over the place in the spring. But when you're looking at position players and starting pitchers, other than Roop Harrison, I don't know if Birdsong is in there, but like you said, he could be a bullpen guy.
You know, I would flip it. I would force Birdsong to start and then have Roop as the swing guy just because he's not the one that throws 98, right? Birdsong throws so hard and he can throw harder for longer. But you bring in Roop as the guy who has that one pitch, and that's kind of what separates starters from the bullpen, right? Is you have your bullpen guy has one or two pitches that play, and to be a starter, you got to have like three or four pitches that actually play. And yeah. Roop's curveball is so amazing that as a reliever, if he doesn't have the other stuff, he could still get away with it because the curveball is so good. But not the only reason, but that would be kind of my mentality. And because Birdsong is just kind of the better prospect than the younger dude. And, you know, you have him, you know, just when he's not starting, he's just hanging out with Verlander and Robbie Ray and Logan Webb and picking their brains the whole time. And Roop is just a little bit more sort of in there, maybe in the idea of what he could do. He's a little bit more utility than a Birdsong is, but you know, but that would be the reason, is just because, you know, you look at the guy and maybe he's the prospect that just forces himself onto the roster, right? We thought that was going to be Kyle, and Kyle's, you know, if Kyle could throw 95 again, then he'd be the guy, but he's struggling right now. So,
well, and if there's anybody who can tell you if a pitcher is ready to go, if it's their time and their spot to be in the rotation, it's going to be Buster Posey and Bob Melvin. I mean, those guys commanded pitching staffs all their careers. Bob Melvin, fantastic track record as a manager. Those guys are going to know. Those guys are going to know. So whoever gets the number five spot, it's not going to be a, hey, you're just going to hold this spot until other guys are ready. It's going to be, okay, you're ready. Take it and run with it and show us what you can do.
Next week, we're going to have our preseason predictions.
Yeah.
And also,
we haven't done very good the last couple of years. So let's see what we can come up with this time.
Also, around the network, Brian and I recorded a Sunday. So there's a new Death Lineup podcast that is out there. The Warriors are really hot right now. They're making a run in this playoff race. And I promised last week that Rod and I were going to get together for We Want Winners. He had, he's kind of in the process of moving. And so some, like his microphone and his computer were like packed in different boxes. So he wasn't able to join me. We're going to try and get together this week because obviously NFL free agency has started today.
It's going nuts right now, man.
And yeah, it's not going nuts for the Niners, by the way. I think the Niners are going to break the record for compensatory draft pick in the 2026 draft because of how many players they've lost already today. They've lost, I'll give you a count. Someone has sent me a thing. The Niners have lost. Okay. So they traded Debo already. We talked about that last week. They lost Dre Greenlaw to the Broncos, Charvarius Ward to the Colts, Jalen Moore to the Chiefs, Talanoa Hufanga to the Broncos, Aaron Banks to the Packers, Elijah Mitchell to the Chiefs, Joshua Dobbs to the Patriots. They released Javon Hargrave and Malik Collins. And I think from what I saw, Kyle Juszczyk, their fullback, Juice, I saw George Kittle tweeted out a broken heart next to a juice box. Saying he was really sad about losing a Juszczyk. So
where did he go?
They just released him because the one guy that they did sign is a backup tight end who can also kind of be moved around as a blocker in different places. So I have no idea what their idea is here. They still got to sign Brock Purdy. So Rod and I are going to have a lot to talk about. We just need to find the time. And so we're going to try and get together this week. I know I promised last week that we were going to have a show, but he had some scheduling difficulties. So, all right, that is it from here. So for Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.